the new freaking year.
2019.
This is our first podcast of 2019.
Wow.
What is going to happen this year?
What is going to happen? You know, it's really cute. I was looking back on the year that we first started our podcast, and I was so proud of us. I said, the year we started our podcast, we did 13 episodes, and I'm so proud of us. Now look at us.
Look at us with the weekly podcast. You and I have been really good at like showing up for the weekly podcast.
Yeah, even when we're apart, even when we're in different cities, mm-hmm. when we're traveling, we try not to miss a week. Even on the holidays, we didn't feel like taking time off.
I know, but it is my favorite when I get to sit across from you and look into your eyes. You look so beautiful.
Right now?
Yes.
I can't imagine that's the truth.
Oh, it is so the truth. Your eyes, I feel like they're deep pools of beauty I just fall into.
Wow, thank you.
It's true.
For those of you that know, we always drop this podcast on Wednesdays, but we're filming it today, Tuesday, which is New Year's Day.
Oh,
that's why I was laughing about Kristen telling me I look beautiful, because it's New Year's Day and I don't feel beautiful.
Because we had an epic, amazing, such a fun New Year's Eve.
So fun.
Like, it was one of my favorite New Year's Eves of all time.
It was really fun.
And here we are today. Oh, look at bing! Welcome to 2019.
Welcome to 2019.
It's cute. Even when I turn my messages off on my computer, they love to like pop up on their own. Because I think the angels just like to say hello to us.
I think so too. It always happens at the perfect moment.
I know.
When we say something wise.
Their angels are like, we're here. Okay, so.
So.
2019. Miracles are here.
Miracles are here. That's what we want to talk about. So if you've never listened to this podcast before, sorry for the long preamble. You know, it's New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a podcast about creativity, about dreams, destiny, dharma, purpose, about being an artist, being a powerful creator, and reclaiming your creative essence, reclaiming who you are and what you came here on this planet to do. And so
it is.
It is.
That's what this podcast is.
That's what this podcast is about.
I just thought this is a podcast where we get on and talk about our sex lives.
I mean, we do that too.
Okay.
But that has everything to do with our creative purpose and potential.
Yeah. That's just my dharma on the planet.
Everything is everything.
Everything is everything. Everything is spiritual, friends.
Everything. So we just recently, hey now!
The angels, yay!
We recently taught together. It was the first time actually teaching live together in, I think, 6 or so months. It was, like, really long overdue. And we taught on this topic, and so we were really excited to bring it to you in terms of a podcast. And the topic is, the miracle is here. Now, the reason we wanted to teach on this is because, especially around New Year's time, a lot of people are really busy creating resolutions and creating almost a to-do list of how to be better in this upcoming year. So people are almost taking an inventory of where they fell short the previous year and thinking, how can I up my game?
Wait, I just thought of something so funny. What if that was what this whole podcast was you and I taking our own inventories and just listing all the ways we've fallen short?
All the ways we messed up this year.
Here is every way.
You have a right to judge and dislike us.
That would be so fun.
That would be so weird.
Wait, by the way, that just, the idea of that makes me laugh so much.
That would be a private podcast.
Okay. Can you have a shadow podcast?
A shadow podcast.
That, like, you have to have, like, the magical link to
you
in order
to hear.
You have
to have, like, a special password.
Yes. Okay, get back to saying spiritual
continuing.
Things.
Continuing.
By the way,
continuing on the path.
It's definitely New Year's Day, because all I want to do is have tangents.
Well, that's all I want you to do.
Okay. The miracle.
Let me remember what I said. Oh, so we want to make New Year's resolutions. We want to fix ourselves. We want to think about the ways that we were not our ideal self, and we want to try to somehow make that better. Now, willpower is cheap, and for most of us, our New Year's resolutions end up coming and going within 2 or 3 weeks of the New Year holiday.
Speaking of willpower, I want to talk about... if you've been listening to this podcast, you know Kristen's real big into the 12 steps right now. And one of the things that I love that I just heard that I really got was it says something, I'm going to paraphrase, but basically it's like, became entirely ready to have God remove our shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And when I say God, of course,
universe,
source of love,
source
universe,
of love, nature,
purple,
higher self,
purple people eater, whatever you want to call the divine. But it's the divine that removes our shortcomings.
Mm.
We can't even do it ourselves. Mm. Like, and I heard that in a brand new way of like, oh, do you know why we fail and then judge ourselves against it? Is because we keep trying to do it ourselves. Mm. Right?
Right. And then we're so angry at ourselves when we repeat our patterns. We say, I'm never doing that again, or I'm never being that person again. And then you find yourself doing and being that again. And there's so much judgment, but it's only through the space of compassion where sometimes it has to happen that many times for us to open to the readiness of saying, okay, this has to go. But it's not by our own strength and our own will that it goes. And that's actually a really good segue into the miracles here, because many of us think if something happens, then the miracles is there. You know, the miracle's out there. The miracle's in the more money in the bank account. The miracle is the better agent. The miracle is once your show gets greenlit. The miracle is, you know, once your children are born and healthy. The miracle is something out in the future that we're trying to chase and get to. And so we want to take a new and powerful position to say, what if we shifted our gaze and our perception to see that there are miracles right here and right now that I'm actually missing because I'm so forwardly focused in a future that hasn't even manifest yet?
Well, I think that's exactly what we do. We go, oh my goodness, 2019, and we all wish each other Happy New Year, and we think it's going to be a great new year if these things that I have been hoping for happen this year, right? Mm-hmm. Or if I have good fortune or good luck. As if there's some sort of, you know, this kind of like Santa Claus type figure that's going to give us something great, as opposed to realizing that we live in a universe that is constantly generous and is giving constantly to us. And instead of thinking that we have to have something that is in this kind of projected future, realizing that what we are searching for most is deep within us. Mm. And it's deep within us here in the present moment. Mm. And the more we really delay our happiness, thinking that when this or that or the other thing happens, then I'll finally feel like I'm living my right life, realize that right life, that divine destiny, the who we are at our highest and best self, is alive and in us right now. We've just been going the wrong direction.
Yes.
We've been going out instead of in. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love so much about this talk, because for all of you listening, Natalie and I gave this talk the other night, and it was so fun.
It was so fun.
And it's so exciting to share with our listeners, because I do believe that, like, the essence of this message is our favorite message to give.
Yes.
It's our favorite message to talk about, and it's our favorite message to keep educating ourselves about.
Yeah, and keep finding new ways to even shift our perception.
Yes.
And rethink about it and reevaluate it and see it in a new way.
Yeah.
And so Kristen and I talk a lot on this podcast about it's an inner game.
Yeah.
And we often are chasing around form on the outer world when really the inner qualities are what we're here to bring forth, right? So I was just recently reading this interesting book, and it was talking about how we need to live in the awareness of the priority of the things that we take with us and not in the awareness of the priority of the things that we don't take with us. Mm-hmm. So, for example, none of us take the amount of money in our bank with us when we go. None of us take the house with us when we go. What we do take is the relationships, right? The way we loved, mm-hmm. the qualities that we develop in ourselves. We get to take our compassion and our empathy and the impact that our life left on someone else's heart. Those are the things that we get to take with us. And so when we talk about the inner game, we're really talking about shifting the focus immediately to say, you were born for a purpose. The world needed something, and you were born as the answer to that need. That you have a divine purpose here, and your life matters, and who you are matters. And so the very first thing we want to do in this process is start to look inside so we can really see, what is that thing that is being called up inside of me that I'm here to do?
It's like, here's the fun thing. So wherever you are listening to this, you were born as the answer. You came here to the planet because we need you. Like, you got something for us. And Natalie and I love to talk about changing around the paradigm that we're not here to get something from the world. We're here to give something to the world, to unleash something that is deep inside of us. So imagine like there is this gorgeous garden that is inside the center of your soul. And that garden is a gift to the entire planet. Or you can imagine it like a treasure chest, mm-hmm. or anything that's a, like that's beautiful or of value. It's deep inside. And we want to go within and harvest it and bring it out. And that is really what all of us are looking for, is how to find, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about those hidden jewels
yeah.
that are hidden within us and how to bring them forth into the world. And that's the game that we're playing. And so we always think that there's something that's in the world that we want, but what we actually want is the expression of that treasure that's inside of us coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the miracle is here, and the miracle is you. Now, Natalie and I developed we have a five-step plan, and we call it the Steps of Miracle Makers.
Mm-hmm. So if we're saying the miracle is here because you are actually mm-hmm. the miracle, then these are the steps of really cultivating and opening up to your miracle-ness.
Yes. It's like diving for the miracle within.
Yes.
And Natalie did the coolest thing, you guys, but this is a podcast, so we're not visual, so I'm just going to tell it to you. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm going to tell you up front. She came, when we devised these five steps, she's like, it's a star.
It's a five-point star.
It's a five-pointed star. So if you're feeling like really crafty, you could draw a little star in front of you and then think of each one of these points as the points of your star. So the very first one is accept the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine it this way. You know how we talked about the treasure that's inside of you? The universe, it tells you what that treasure is, or gives you a hint to it by giving you a vision. Right? So it gives you a vision of your life, or a vision for who you are at your highest and best self. You may be listening to this going, I don't got a vision for that. Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens often is we can like turn the volume down on that vision or start to blind ourselves to it because we don't think it's possible. I was just having lunch with someone the other day asking them about their dreams, and they're like, and like later they came back to me and was like, I totally chickened out on telling you my dreams.
Yeah.
But it's because we will think it's not possible, so then we don't want to share it. And eventually, if we keep turning down the volume or turning, it's like, you know, on the screen on your phone when you can turn the brightness down?
Mm.
We've turned the brightness down on our vision until we can't see it anymore.
Mm.
So we want to give ourselves, one, permission to reclaim that vision so that we can accept it. We need to embrace it. Think of your vision. Now, some of you are listening to this and you're like, oh, I got the vision.
Yes, I know exactly what it is. I've known for years.
Yeah, I've known my dream. I've known it since I was five. I see myself as my highest and best. I know what that vision is, right? Awesome. What we want to do is start to embrace that vision
yeah.
and embrace it as holy information. And that vision is always connected to what turns us on the most, what gets us the most excited, the fills us with passion and exuberance. That vision is what the universe is telling us is what we're here to do in our divine destiny and what it has prepared for us.
And in accepting the vision, and that word accept is very purposeful here, is many of us will receive the vision, right? Or you'll get the vision. It comes from like the ether. You know, you're sitting in your yoga class or you're sitting in the shower and all of a sudden you have this vision.
Mm-hmm.
You have this vision of something you could do, something you could create, something that would be amazing, something that really gets you excited.
Mm-hmm.
And what usually most of us do is we start poo-pooing the vision
mm-hmm.
already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it can't work because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly I'm not the one to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not good enough to have this vision. Why is this vision coming to me? We already start coming up with all of the reasons the vision should not manifest,
yeah.
even if we really want it. So the trick when you receive the vision is to say, I don't know how. We love to say the hows are not my job. But I'm just going to accept that what was given to me was given purposefully to me.
Yes.
And I don't need to know the steps. I just need to take the one next step I've been given.
What's the one next step in front of me? Think of it like a roadmap. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like we've been given this roadmap, and now we just need to point in the direction. I remember when I had kind of like my spiritual epiphany in my mid-20s, my vision was like I could hear Spirit saying to me, just point in this direction. Mm. You don't need to be here right now. Just like, let's like take your boat and like point it towards this. Let's point your choices towards this.
Yeah.
And then like, I'll take care of how far you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I was the other night when we were giving this talk, and I might've said this already in a previous podcast, but I'd heard this phrase and I love it. And I want to say it again. It's, our job is to walk in the direction of our dreams. It's God's job how far we get.
Mm,
and I love that. Okay, second. I love this step. I love this point. It makes me so happy. Fall in love with our vision.
Yep.
I love it so much because I think what happens sometimes is we get a vision and then we either feel ashamed about the vision mm-hmm. or because we feel like it's not possible, we try to manage our expectations mm-hmm. or because we've been hurt by life. We want to protect ourselves from getting too excited. Friends, we are going to get all the way excited. We are going to fall in love with our dream, with our vision. We're going to get passionate about it. We are going to be in full-blown infatuation with it because we need the energy of that love to propel us on our path. Falling in love with our vision, it will give us energy mm-hmm. and it will also... will receive inspiration on the next steps to take when we have allowed ourselves to fully fall in love. It's like when you love, you open. Mm-hmm. And in that opening, like just when I start to talk about falling in love, you guys, if you could see me, I am like sitting up with my chest open. Like I can feel the openness in my body, which allows me to be able to receive from all sides. Mm-hmm. There's that thing that happens when you meet someone new, right? Like when you fall in love with someone and then all of a sudden life just is positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel lifted. You feel floaty. Everything feels like so juicy.
It's the funny moment on Sex and the City when Charlotte gets engaged to Harry and like someone takes her cab and she's like, that's okay.
Yes.
You know, like it doesn't matter what happens because I'm in love.
And that's how in love we want to be with our vision. In fact, I was thinking, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning until I have reawakened my love with my vision.
Right.
So that my first step out of bed is one of like energy and dynamicness and like, I can't wait to participate with my dream today.
Right, because it's so easy to bail on the vision.
Yes.
That it requires a deep love and communion with the vision and that recommitment to love. Love is always the energy of moving towards something. When you love something, you want more of it. When you're afraid, when you're in fear, when you're in lack, when you're in anger, you want to move away from it, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to be close to this thing. We were talking with the example about parents who have children. You know, you got to really love those children because they're here to bring up all of your unhealed stuff.
Yes.
Right? So you feel so connected and so in love with them that no matter what they bring up, there's no way you're bailing.
Mm.
Right? And so that level of love and continuing to reclaim and re-fall in love is so vital to keeping on the course.
That's it. Whoo! And I do feel that when we allow ourselves to fall deeply in love with our vision, to court our vision, to romance our vision, it starts to do the work through you,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why how is none of our job. We don't have to come up with like, what's the next step that I need to do mm-hmm. in order for this to happen. If we allow ourselves to go crazy in love with our dream, the next step will happen organically out of this burning ardor in our chest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're in love with a person, you don't have to like even think about like a nice thing to do for
yes.
them. You just love them and spontaneous action arises out of that love.
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're really interested in terms of our vision.
Exactly.
But it takes courage to allow yourself to fully be in love with your vision.
Yeah, that's
right?
The perfect word. Courage of the heart.
Yes.
You know, the courage to open yourself up, you know, especially for those of us who have been hurt before. there's the tendency to say, I want to close until I know it's safe. I know that this vision could hurt me, so I don't want to fall in love with it. Yeah. You know, we don't want to fall in love with people for the same reason.
Yes.
And the job is not to protect ourselves. The job is to express ourselves. Mm. And the only way we can do that is through a loving, open heart.
Thank you, Natalie. Now, the third thing that we do, and we got this from Michael Beckwith, which is so good.
Thank you, Michael Beckwith.
It's time to cut the crap. Now, Michael, you know, who runs the Agape Center out in California, he said this, I think it was like last Sunday, and it was so great, we just had to write it down. So CRAP is an acronym, and it stands for Complaining, Repeatedly Affirming Problems. So when we are in that complaining zone and we are just talking all day long about what isn't working, what we're actually doing is recreating that.
Yes.
And if you can imagine, the vision that comes to me is like a wall of crap that gets created in front of us, like literally blocking us off from all the good and all the opportunities in the world. We can no longer see how life is trying to get our dream to manifest because of all the crap in our face.
Yeah.
Right? We've created that keeps us from being able to see.
Many of us don't realize how much and how often we are complaining, mm-hmm. because the complaints can be subtle. They can be just those normal little everyday pebbles in your shoe. Yeah. But there's this real awareness to what I don't like about life, or how life isn't doing what I want life to do.
Or what I don't have, or what's not possible.
Exactly. So when we're busy in that perceiving mode, then the yogis say that there's kind of like a screen or filter from which we see life through. And we are a light, this beautiful soul, this cosmic consciousness, this pure energy. And we're also a human body. And so the thing that separates the pure consciousness and the human body is this screen of perception or misperception. And the yogis talk about suffering being when we're in misperceiving, or when we're linking things improperly together and thinking they're truth. So it's like this screen, which the yogis call the citta, is meant to be clean so that our light can reflect out into the world, and the world can see us as we really are, and we can see the world as it really is, mm-hmm. which is a loving universe, which is that it's for us, which is that anything's possible, that we live in a field of limitless, infinite possibility, all these things. But things happen to us, these samskaras, or these traumas, these wounds that we pick up along the way, and it's like we throw mud or dirt or garbage or trash or crap on top of this filter.
Yeah.
And so soon, our light can't reflect through all of this mud of trauma, of repeating patterns, of hurt. And so we end up projecting the patterns and the wounds. And we can know this in our relationships, right? When someone says, you're doing this to me, but really it's something that they're doing to themselves or have had done to them that they're now projecting into their current reality because they can't see and perceive the world as safe or for them or loving. So they're projecting this fear-based image or this old pattern or this old belief that isn't even theirs. And so our job with cutting the crap is almost like taking the Windex to the screen and clearing it off. There's this really funny story about this woman and her husband were always sitting eating breakfast looking out the window at the new neighbors that moved in. And the woman was always like, oh, her laundry looks so terrible. It's always dirty. Oh, her dishes are dirty. Everything's dirty. They're filthy over there. And this went on and on and on for several days. And then one morning, the woman woke up and looked out the window and she said, oh my gosh, this woman next door really got it together. Everything looks really clean today. And her husband said to her, honey, I woke up this morning and cleaned our windows.
Oh.
Right? So we're looking through this dirty lens, this dirty screen, and then we think the world is bad. The world is going to hurt us. The world isn't going to support our dream. So that's why this stuff is really important. As we continue to cut the crap, we clear so that we can see life as for us, and it makes it easier to stand in love and acceptance of our vision when we can really see and perceive clearly.
Well, and I think this is why, personally, this is why I love affirmations, is because I think if we look at our complaints, even if we're not saying them out loud, but the ones that we have inside, And we write them down and go, what are the complaints I notice myself having? That is a pointer, an indication of where our negative beliefs are.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, here's where I'm holding beliefs that aren't true about life. I've inherited them from somewhere. I've developed them along the way. Now my job, my inner work is, how do I neutralize that thought that is creating the crap in my life?
Mm.
Right? So that's when we go in and we do the inner work and go, okay, so if the lie is, I never have enough money, what's the truth that's going on? Is that life is abundant and there's opportunities for money to flow in all directions.
Right.
Let me work with this idea. Let me start to say it to myself. Let me start to gather evidence for that.
Yeah.
You and I have been talking a lot about we will find evidence for whatever it is that we want to find evidence for,
exactly.
Right? So if I want to find evidence that you are the worst best friend in the world,
there's plenty.
But if I want to find evidence that you're the very best friend in the world,
there's plenty,
right? Yeah. It's like we can gather evidence for any argument we want. So what's the argument that's going to serve us, right? So if I'm interested in living an abundant life, let me now find evidence that the universe is abundant.
And anytime we find ourselves holding on to the crap, because it's been with us a while and it actually feels good and lethargic and
safe,
and sometimes it feels good to be a victim, you know? And there's some juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we keep these patterns, because on some level they do work for us. But we want to ask ourselves, is this crap worth losing my serenity over?
Mm.
Is this crap worth losing my happiness over? Is this crap worth losing the next iteration, the next step for my dream over?
That's right.
And when we really get honest, of course it isn't. Of course, it's just crap, right? So that can help us when we start to even have that perception of what it is. It can help us to get rid of it.
No, so good. Thank you for that, Natalie. Okay, fourth point on your star. Once we've cleared the debris, then it's time to polish our lens.
Mm.
And lens is also an acronym for lovingly envision our new self.
Mm. A loving envisioned new self. I love that. It's that thing of a lot of the crap stems from this false belief that we're not worthy, that we're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we cut the crap, we can start to see a new vision of ourselves. We can see a confident version of ourselves. We can see an enough version of ourselves.
Yes.
A luminous, shiny, bright, capable, incredible, thoughtful, listening, intuitive version of ourselves emerge. And that's the self that the dream's excited to be with. And be in romance with.
That's right. And I like to think of that self, this fresh self, like first day of 2019, there is this fresh, authentic self that is coming out through me. And it's the truth of who I am. It is my highest and best self. And so what I want to do in my own inner work is sit and envision her and see her and let her talk to me and see her in the world. See her as a badass businesswoman. See her as a really communicative lover.
Mm.
See her as an open heart in the world. See her as someone who comes with solutions and not problems. See her as she reveals herself to me, and then start to, as I want to say, like, tighten my vision, or that vision gets cleaner, and what comes to me is, you know, when you zoom in, you're taking a picture and you zoom in and it becomes more clear.
Yeah.
The more we envision this fresh new self that is emerging, the clearer it gets.
Yeah.
So as we spend time in the morning with this part of ourself that is coming in, we'll start to hear more clearly and see more clearly who they really are and how they operate on the planet.
And it always feels to me like my dream really comes out of hiding when it really trusts me.
Ooh.
Right? When I'm congruent with what I say and what I do, and when I am steadfast in my commitment to my growth or my personal practice or whatever those rituals, those healing rituals are that help me cut the crap,
mm-hmm.
it's like my dream goes, oh, I trust her. Oh, she's the perfect vessel for me. Oh, she's ready. Oh, she's someone that's trustworthy enough to now hold more.
Oh.
And so more comes in.
Yes, yes, that's it. So we start to polish our lens, we envision this person, and like, you can have fun in your morning practice as you envision this person. You can enjoy it. You can get turned on by it. You can let them whisper to you. You can let them write through journal prompts.
Mm.
Anything you can do to spend time with this new part of who you are that is coming forward, the more you'll start to find yourself as acting and living as that person in the world.
Exactly.
And then...
final point of the star.
Is we surrender this vision to love.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use any word you want. And
God, goddess, divine, higher power, universe, source.
But the most important thing is that at some point we turn the vision over and say, you gave the vision to me, and now I give it back to you. May I not try to control it or manipulate it or force it into being. May I hold it with a gentle, loving hand.
Mm-hmm.
May I be here to usher this vision into the world. You've given me this vision of this life that you want to have be lived through me. May I be a good steward of this vision, but know truly it is yours and not mine.
Right, right. It's interesting that the very first step is the vision kind of comes out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
It's like... who's the guy that says ideas aren't ours, we
catch
them like fish?
David Lynch.
So it's like these ideas just they pop out of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
out of nowhere, an idea comes in,
yep.
right? And our job is to take the steps to love it, to embrace it, to open to it, to cut all the crap that gets in the way of its manifestation, to make ourselves the best steward for this gift. But then it's like we surrender it from whence it came,
yeah.
right? So the cycle of the star continues. So there's something beautiful in surrender where our faith gets really built. And really strong, because when we're busy being a one-man or one-woman show, we think we have to do everything, then we don't actually trust that there's something there that can help us. And so it's very hard for us to expand into our magnitude if we think we have to do it all on our own will and our own strength.
Well, and then we can't. Then we actually become a roadblock, something that is getting in the way from allowing that vision to manifest. I was listening to a lot of Tasha Silver this week. She has... two great books. If you want to work on surrender in your life, and surrender in a way that your life becomes super magical because you have offered it to the divine, she has a book called Outrageous Openness and another book called Change Me Prayers that were really instrumental to me in my life of learning how to surrender in a way that where I could like hand over the controls and say, it's your life, live it through me.
Yeah. And it's something is so magical about your level of non-attachment that this dream isn't really my dream, you know?
Yeah.
This child isn't your child. I mean, of course, they are of you, but they are their own unique personality. They are their own unique person. The dream is something that is here for the world, and we are here to give it as service.
Yes.
This is something that we offer, and so we let it be what it wants to be. We let it play how it wants to play. We let it manifest the way it wants to manifest. We trust its wisdom because it is connected to the source of love, to cosmic consciousness.
I feel that way about all of my shows.
Mm-hmm.
This is your show.
Mm-hmm.
You gave it to me. Let me be a good mama for it, but I know it's yours and do what you want with it.
Yes.
Right? And if I'm not being a good mama, can you slap me?
Yes.
Like,
not
universe,
like
gently,
yeah.
but like, really talk to me and tell me so that I can show up and be a good mama the way that I want to be.
Yeah.
And this, but I also feel the same way about my own life. This life that is being lived through this person called Kristen is yours. You brought this body forward and this crazy curly hair, right? You brought this human forward, this life energy. Live this life. Let it be an offering to you.
Yeah.
And I kind of like to think of like cosmic consciousness. In my mind, I always think of it as like a stadium full of wisdom, right? Like, I don't know why, but I love to think of this, like, collective of cosmic consciousness that's just hanging out in the infinite. And Kristen is the dream of that cosmic consciousness, right? That, like, I love when you say, it fell in love with you so much it had to create Natalie Roy.
It couldn't resist creating you. It was so in love with your potential, it had to make you.
It had. And so, and then, so all of a sudden, like, I see the stadium full of cosmic consciousness dreaming up Kristen, having all these ideas of what her life could be, that want to live an idea through me.
Yeah. And that's the joy of being here. That's the joy of being a human being. It's the joy of being on the precipice of this brand new year, is saying, I don't know, and I'm glad I don't know. It's not even my job to know. Show me, show me, show me. Let me be of service. Let me be used. Let my life be of service. Let my art be of service. Let my talent be of service. Let everything that I am, from the tip of my toe to the top of my head, be used in service of whatever it is that this world needs manifest here and now.
And know that the divine loves for you to be in joy, loves for you to be in bliss, loves for you to be in the feeling of heaven as happening now. So when we talk about service too, I want to be mindful that we're not talking about being a martyr and like, your job is to do a whole bunch of stuff you don't want to do to please someone else. The essence of the divine, like, I love when Rob says that the engine of the universe is joy.
Yeah.
Right? So the universe loves you so much, it operates and motivates you through joy and love.
Right. Well, that's why we want to fall in love with the vision. We want to know that it came from love. It's here to love us. We're here to love it. This is actually a fun process.
Love is the currency,
love
right?
Love is the currency, yeah.
Now, you said something the other night that I thought was so wise.
I can't wait to hear what it was.
I'm going to repeat it and pretend like it's mine. No, I'm just kidding. When we were looking at all the steps on the board, you said, look, the first one is about accepting the vision was about, you were saying something about that the first thing is about acceptance.
Yes.
And then it's love.
Yes.
And then you said cutting the crap is really about acceptance, like accepting life on life's terms.
Yes, not wanting to change life or wanting life to be different than it is. You accept life exactly as life is.
And knowing that all of it is for you. And then polish your lens, right, comes back to love.
Comes
like
back to love.
Love who you authentically are, right? And so the idea of we do acceptance, we do love. We do acceptance, we do love, and then we surrender it, which is kind of like both at the same time.
Exactly. So it's like it starts with the vision. We accept the vision. We love the vision. Then we accept life. We accept ourselves. And then we love that. And then we surrender everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I accept things as they are. I accept life as it's presenting itself. I love the process. I love myself in the process. And then let's see what you can do with me in that state of being.
Well, I love that. I love that it's I accept my vision. I love my vision. I accept myself and my circumstances, and I love myself and my circumstances.
And now you take the wheel.
And now you take it.
And how fun that we don't have to do all the heavy lifting.
You know, I just thought about this too. Cutting the crap is like you're cutting out seeing the false version of yourself and your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I will no longer look at what is not the truth of me.
Yeah.
What is not, like, if I go around complaining, like, I'm fat and I'm ugly and I'm broke, I'm actually just not looking at the truth.
Right?
When I lovingly envision myself, I'm looking at the truth.
Right?
So, it's like, are we going to look at the false part of ourself and our circumstances or the truth? And the truth is always love.
And what's so great about surrendering to love is it'll always show you the truth. So if you're confused, that's why you got to surrender it, because then it will be revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you can really see the miracle.
Only love is ever happening.
Yeah. And if something looks like not love, then ask yourself, where is there crap here that needs to be cleaned out?
I love when the Course in Miracles says everything is either love or a call for love.
Absolutely.
You know?
And whenever we feel like love is being withheld from us, it's really a beautiful call to say, and where am I withholding love from myself? Because it's being reflected in my outer world to point me to a new truth as possible now.
And that's gorgeous.
It's a miracle.
It's The miracle's here.
The miracle's here.
The miracle's here, and it's you.
And we love you, and we feel so grateful to be starting another year of podcasts with you. And we feel so grateful for your listening and your time, your very valuable time that you have these conversations with us. Mm-hmm. It just feels really juicy for us, and we're just so grateful. Thank you so much for tuning in the last few years we've done this podcast and on to this next year. And if you love this podcast, please just share it with someone. You know, tell someone that you know and love. Maybe someone you don't love that you might think that they might enjoy it.
Yeah, pass it on. And thank you for being in the conversation with us. I love that this is really like conversations with my best friend about our favorite things. And we want you to be part of the conversation. So if there's things that you want to talk about or you want to talk about with us or you'd like us to jam on, you can go to our Create Facebook page or send us an email through our website.
And it's the acronym CREATE, so it's C.R.E.A.T.E. community Facebook page.
And our website is?
www.thecreateseries.com.
And we have this cool, like, playbook for your dreams. So if harvesting your dream is something that you're doing right now for 2019, we have a book you can get as a PDF on our website. And we also have a cool video series that we made. So
yeah.
There's many different ways that you can spend more time with us.
And we also want to let you know, if you're in the Los Angeles area, on Sunday, January 13th, we are going to be teaching live in Los Angeles. I think it's been about a year since we've taught in Los Angeles together. So super exciting. That information is on our website. And we will keep you posted in New York when we're coming back to you at the end of January.
Thank you, friends. Happy 2019.
Happy New Year.
We are so excited about the dreams that are pouring out from your heart, and we can't wait to enjoy them all. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?